Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
7:14. Sun was trying. Tommy Tucker. The sun was trying to peek through the eastern sky just now, but you're going to have bands of showers coming through until around noon, I think, and then maybe the chance for showers dissipates after that. In advance of not really a cool front, more of a dry front, going to lower the humidity. Highs near 90 into the foreseeable future in the next week, and no chance for showers really after today. Brian Lagarde joins us, our friend, criminologist, and executive director of Project NOLA. NOLA, how you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm all right. So I saw the story that David Hammer did on WWL-TV, and it piqued my interest about these barricades, or are they, in the French Quarter. Tell me what happened. Tell me the whole story, please.
Well, imagine if you're on the French in the French Quarter. You're walking Bourbon Street. You're having a good time with your friends. It's late at night. And, you know, you're in a thick crowd, and lo and behold, and last thing you would expect is a car coming towards you. It's something that we see very often. It's where people become trapped behind the barricades. They park their vehicles before Bourbon Street closes, and they're trapped behind, you know, the barricades. Later, they return to the car. They, you know, then they decide, what am I going to do now? And a lot of times they get in the car, drive through a crowd, reach a barricade, push it aside, and then they drive off of Bourbon Street. Sometimes we see just the opposite, where somebody really desperately wants to drive onto Bourbon Street, whether it's to show off their car or whatever it might be, and they move the barricade to the side. They drive onto Bourbon Street through crowds and then drive out the other side. For the most part, it's fairly innocent, but you know, the scary thing is some of the people are probably driving impaired. It wouldn't take much for somebody to overreact and hit the gas, and next thing you know, they're plowing through, you know, scores of people. But of course, in the back of our minds since January 1st is, you know, there's also the possible threat of terrorism, and, you know, what can be done with an F-150 Ford Lightning. So it's lots of concerns on many different levels, and we just haven't seen anything get done yet to fix the problem.
So this is at the intersection where the terrorist on January 1st turned the truck, correct?
So Bourbon and Canal is what you're referring to.
Yeah.
But the barricades are all along Bourbon Street, everything at the end and beginning of each block. And the problem is they're all very, very easy to move.
So they don't put a dump truck out anymore, Brian? I haven't been. I don't know.
Maybe for large events, sometimes they would park a heavy truck or one NOPD's armored vehicle at Canal and Bourbon. But you can also, of course, enter Bourbon from Iberville and Bienville and a number of any other streets.
So tell me about the barricades. Which ones are we talking about? What would they look like, and how would I know them? The police install them how?
So these are the ones, they're fairly new. They've only been around for, you know, since the attack. It's these large metal barriers, and they don't look very movable. But the thing is, they have wheels on the bottom. There's a ratchet where basically the wheels will deploy, and it makes it easier to move. And so the police, every day when Bourbon Street closes, you'll see police officers will go down Bourbon Street, and they very dutifully will go ahead and put the barricades into place. And once the barricade's in place, they'll use this ratchet, and they'll go ahead and lower the barricade onto, you know, where it's flush with the ground. And it makes it more difficult to move, but certainly not impossible, where we're seeing just all it takes is one person to put their back in it even, you know, slightly, and it moves right out of the way. Even better if you have a person with you to help you. It's extraordinarily easy with zero effort if you just go ahead and use your bumper, basically tap it, and then, you know, gently push it, and then they'll move right out of the way. The problem is they're designed to be anchored to the ground. So once they are deployed, there's an anchoring system, and there's no holes in the ground for the police officers to go ahead and anchor the barricades into. So they're extraordinarily easy to move because there's no anchor.
So this is analogous, I'm guessing, to when you got to move a couch on a floor, something, a tile floor or a wooden floor, where it's heavy to pick up and move. However, you can lean against it and it slides pretty easy. Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. Okay.
So not only would somebody be able to slide against it and move it, but the truck, if they were hell-bent on doing some kind of damage, they could move it easily with the vehicle and then continue on their way, right?
Exactly. Reach the end of the block, slow down, push the next ones aside, floor it, plow through more people, reach the end of the block, slow down, push through the next section of barricades, and then, you know, so on and so forth. Very easy.
Let me talk about what made you release this video when we come back, because I know you're very protective of the video that you release, and you're a criminologist. There had to be a good reason for this, and to me, it's like security theater. It's the illusion of security, and there really isn't. And again, if this guy doesn't do this on New Year's Day, none of this ever happens, but it's cost a lot of money. It's almost like the back to the death by a thousand cuts thing, where we're spending a lot of money. We haven't had an attack, but is that because of the security measures, or is it because this was just one misguided individual that decided to kill a whole bunch of people on New Year's Day? 720 traffic now, WWL. 726 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Brian Lagarde, criminologist, executive director of Project NOLA, about some video that he released about barriers in the French Quarter that were designed to prevent a vehicular attack, but that can be easily moved aside either with a vehicle or by somebody just leaning against it. And we're talking again about something akin to sliding a piece of furniture across a wooden floor, where it seems heavy and cumbersome to pick up, but if you lean against it, it moves right out of the way. So as we have this conversation about pedestrian mall, about Bourbon Street, about security, I don't know that has anything, many videos that you have, do they show any security barriers that work, that cannot be moved?
Sometimes people reach the barriers in their vehicles and they either don't try to move them or they don't try hard to move them, right, and they leave their vehicle parked in the middle of Bourbon Street until they can get out in the morning. But there's so many more people that we're seeing moving the barricades out of the way and either getting on or off of Bourbon Street.
So just to be clear, we have these archer barriers that they use the cart to put out. That's not what we're talking about here, right?
Oh no! So it's not the archer barrier, nor is it the barrier that's at the that's at Bourbon and Canal, which is a different type of barrier. It's all the other barriers that they have all along Bourbon Street, the big metal with the bolts on the side of them. They look, yes, one piece barrier. Those are the ones that are really easy to move. Those are the ones that are supposed to be protecting Bourbon Street, and they're not because there's no anchor system.
And when it comes to a terrorist attack, you know, as a criminologist, and it's no secret, we're not giving anything away here, that, you know, chances are if somebody's going to have an attack, they're going to probe, or they're going to do some, as this terrorist did, do some advanced planning. And if they see somebody moving these barriers right out of the way, they're going to know that's a weak link in the chain. I mean, it's obvious, right?
Very easily so. And that's why we're, you know, it took us some time. Everyone tried working behind the scenes to get this fixed. The NOPD has been complaining about it for months. It just seems that the mayor's office has done nothing. And as a result, now here we are. We're being vocal about it publicly. So we've been trying to get it to be resolved for months. Nothing happened. Here we are.
So the NOPD complained about it to Homeland Security, I'm guessing, in the mayor's office?
They complained to they sent it up the line. So it's my understanding the mayor's office of Homeland Security Emergency Preparedness, the mayor's office, and it seems like it would be a fairly simple thing to drill some holes in the street so that the anchors would have a place to go into. But it just hasn't happened.
Did they buy these, or are they leasing them, or do you know, Brian?
In my understanding that they're leasing them, quite a tidy sum of money as well. So altogether, it's my understanding that they've spent millions of dollars on the vehicle barriers since January 1st. They're leasing these particular barriers, and they'll work great, but they're designed to be anchored, and without those anchors, they're just going to push right out of the way.
Brian, you have just proved me wrong, and here's why. I always say that when you're a kid, you think that somebody, the grown-ups, are watching something, and then you realize that nobody's watching anything. Thankfully, my friend, you are watching something, and now, no, really, and now you've heard me say that before, and now you're trying to bring it to the attention, and I hope you do some good. I hope we did some good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. You bet. Brian Legard, criminologist, executive director of Project NOLA. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk about the Saints and the Bills with Steve Geller, WWL sports director. Right now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 7:45, quarter till 8. If you watch Thursday Night Football or listen to it tonight, you'll get an answer to this question as the Seahawks take on the Cardinals. Quarter till 8, Steve Geller joins us now on WWL, WWL sports director. How you doing, Steve?
I am doing good, Tommy. How you been?
I'm all right. I know you got a long day. Thanks for getting it started with us here this morning. Tell me what's going on this evening with Sports Talk.
Yeah, well, our Thursdays at the Treasure Chest Casino, our weekend kickoff, going to have Super Bowl champ Scott Shanley phone in, talk to him about this trip to Buffalo coming up. Also preview the LSU versus Ole Miss matchup, and even get the ESPN Bills reporter Elena Getzenberg to come on, giving us the lowdown on Buffalo as the Saints get ready, man, oh, man, for definitely the toughest game of the season. When the schedule came out, I was worried about this one.
I think for all of those reasons, the Saints will play them pretty close because it makes no sense for them to do that. I know that logic seems contrary, but what do you think?
I get it. No, I get where you're coming from there. I thought, though, that last game, the outcome against Seattle – was going to be more of what we were going to see this week, not what was going to happen in Seattle. This Buffalo Bills squad is definitely a juggernaut, a Super Bowl, a favorite to win the Super Bowl. Offense, defense, and special teams are a pretty complete squad. Hoping that the Saints can at least keep this one close. We've seen the point spread, 16.5 point underdogs going into this matchup. That's the biggest the Black and Gold have been an underdog since 1975. I was the year I was born, so that's a whole long time ago when Archie was that quarterback.
I think, look, I'm not telling anybody how to bet. I like that 16.5, and I think...
Hard not to, right?
Yeah, well, like last Sunday, it seemed like a lot of points until it wasn't. But I think that I think the Bills might look past the Saints. I think the Saints might surprise them. Maybe I'm wrong, but I hope I'm not. Let's talk about Drew Brees and his eligibility for the Hall of Fame before we get back to the Saints and the Bills, because that's a big deal.
Yeah, and to me, I mean, this is a no doubter, slam dunk.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Drew was a first ballot Hall of Famer, and with that, I would imagine that the Saints are going to have that extra preseason game going into next year, because I think they'll play in the Hall of Fame game to represent, you know, one of the teams with a person going in. And I mean, I'd love to see Jari Evans join him. I was talking to the Cajun Cannon about that yesterday. Jari was first time eligible last season, didn't get in, but he still will be have that opportunity this year. So Evans blocking his way into the Hall of Fame for Breeze just seems fitting to me.
And Leroy Glover also in there, did some time in the Saints uniform.
Oh, yeah. Leroy, man, you look at his numbers and how I didn't realize how long he lasted in the NFL. I think it was a 13-year career. And after his first two seasons, the guy never missed a game in the NFL. When I first moved down to Louisiana, I just remember him being on billboard signs for advertisements and was surprised to see him go, but that's how the way free agency is.
So when it comes to Kellen Moore and discipline and the team, you know, we talked about it, I think, Monday with Mike Dettillier, and I saw some other people talking about it, about Kellen Moore and his style. He's a pretty laid-back kind of guy, right? But maybe sometimes that's not necessarily the way to motivate everybody.
Yeah, that's one of those situations that, you know, everyone has their impressions of what Kellen Moore is like with his team. But to be a fly on the wall in those meeting rooms to see exactly how he's addressing things, I'm curious how the conversations went after last game, not just with the team, also with a guy like Brian Brzee for that headbutt that extended a drive and for Seattle. And to me, that's when everything just started to fall apart, from the Seattle offense being able to stay on the field. After that, we saw a blocked punt, the punt return, and it just all went downhill from that moment. You got to be smarter. You're not just having a stupid penalty that's going to be against you that just hurts the whole team and causes that trickle down effect of nonsense that ended up occurring. I don't know what Coach Moore is like behind those closed doors. He seems this happy-go-lucky, smiley guy in front of us. But I think he's just so well-trained at dealing with the media. His dad, we know, the high school coach. Mm-hmm. He's been a top-notch college football player, then in the NFL as a player, then as the NFL as an assistant coach, and now as the head coach. So he's been there, done that, and knows not to give us any kind of nugget that we can run with.
I think I got a couple of things here. First of all, you don't motivate everybody the same, right? And secondly, when it comes to some people you motivate with a cheater pipe, right? A foot-long piece of galvanized pipe. Other people, just a bad word can do it. I know a long time ago, when I was attending the University of Life, I had to fuss at a mechanic for comebacks at Firestone, and I thought the guy was going to take a swing at me, and he ran out crying. So you never know how people are going to react, right? So you don't put ourselves in a position of judging how Kellen Moore can deal with the team. And sometimes people that are soft-spoken, when they save it so that when they do raise their voice, everybody listens. So let's just hang on a second. It's only been three games. Let's relax. I do think you were right, and I heard you say that on the point after with Bobby Hebert, that it seemed as though the whole thing went south after the Brian Brzee dumb A play. It does seem to go from there.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. The unfortunate series of events started right there for me, and like you know, the game were what, 6 to 8 minutes in, and you just felt like, oh, my God, this thing's over already. Yep. Hopefully that's not the case in Buffalo this Sunday.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Steve Geller, our sports director, 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. All righty, 757 now, back with Steve Geller, WWL sports director. Saints taking on the Bills this weekend in Buffalo. Bills are undefeated, the odds-on favorite for the most part to win the AFC Championship and win the Super Bowl. So the Saints are going to have their challenges for them. The challenges are there, rather. Steve, have you been to Buffalo as a sideline reporter or not?
No, I was just talking about this with our current sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. That was a trip I did not get to make. We didn't have any road trips to Buffalo when I was my tenure doing that. And I told him, make sure you find the prime wing spot and go check it out for me.
Because we know how good the Buffalo Bills are on offense and defense. I'm wondering about the crowd factor, because they're playing a noon game, and that doesn't happen often there, right?
No, that's a great point, Tommy. The Bills Mafia, as they're called, definitely a rowdy bunch, blue-collar kind of, you know, fan base that loves to get into games, a rowdy bunch, but they're not used to those noon starts, so hopefully they're not as revved up as typically, but I would imagine that the way that this Bills team has been rolling right now, they're going to be pretty fired up there. The good news is, at least we don't have to deal with snow this time of year, for sure.
And it's going to be perfect, around 70 degrees and lows at 50 at night. So, predictions, what do you think?
I'm thinking along your lines, where it's not going to be this total massacre, that 16.5 point spread. I'd be more inclined to take the Saints getting to the 16.5. I don't know. I'm not high on the Saints getting the W in this one, but I do think they keep it like a 9-10 point game. It's not going to be this, and I say blowout. A 10-point game is a double-digit, you know, loss is significant, but I don't think it's going to be 20-30 points like we saw last week.
Thank you, Steve. We'll be listening this evening. Y'all go out and join Steve Geller, Mike Dettelier, Treasure Chest Casino today, every Thursday. Hang out from 4 till 7. There on the Kenner's Lake Town on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain. We'll come back, talk to Dr. B about falls in fall. WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.